Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us, please check out our website at www.hisloveministries.net. Thank you.
Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all kiss to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Amen. We'll sing and shout the victory when we all see Jesus. All righty. Well, let's go ahead and get into the book of Ephesians this morning. Get back to chapter 3. And remember the book of Ephesians, as I was praying, this is kind of what, I mean, some people have said it's about our riches in Christ. And then it talks about the church, but I really think it's, you know, about who we are because of who He is, right? Who are we because of who He is? He died on the cross for our sins, and because of that, He makes us who we are. That He gives us all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. He adopts us as children. He gives us redemption of sins. He gathers all things together in Him through Christ. He gives us an inheritance. He seals us with the Holy Spirit. One man said that really that rest of the book of Ephesians is really all the blessings that we have. He talks about in verse 3 that he keeps talking about all the things that he's done for us. And Paul, remember, the last part of chapter 1 prays for us to have spiritual wisdom, that we would understand all the things that we really have. And chapter 2, remember, he talks about that we're dead in our trespasses and our sins, and a dead man can't do anything, but God, who is rich in mercy and grace, made us alive together with Him. And so he says we've been saved by grace through faith. It's what? The gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast. And then he talked about that before Christ, that we didn't, that who we weren't, we were, didn't have any hope, we didn't have any future, we were strangers from the promises, we were aliens and strangers. But Christ, He made peace between the two, between the Jew and the Gentile, between God and man. And He put to death the hatred, the enmity, and He made us all one in the church, and He did that through the cross, right? And he said, we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but he made us citizens. And he also made us saints and members of the household of God. We are family now, right? And he built us on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the scripture. The word of God is what the church is to be built on, right? Nothing less, nothing more, but the scriptures and what Jesus Christ did. And he said he's building us up for a holy temple in which Christ, through the Holy Spirit, dwells. That we have the Spirit living in us and through us. That we are the temple of God now. And we are to take care of this temple and treat it as something holy because Jesus, He died to make us holy, right? And so today we get to chapter 3, and we're going to talk about the mystery that was once hidden that's now revealed. And Paul's talked about this a little bit already in chapter 2. He's already kind of talked about it a little bit. But I want to read maybe the first 6 or 7 verses here, and we'll see what happens, how far we get this morning. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of that same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So we see in the first seven verses that it was a mystery that was once hidden, but it's now revealed. So what happens, what does Paul do? The very first thing he does is says, for this reason. For what reason? Chapter 2, what was he talking about? Who we were and how we got saved through Christ and how he made us one in the church, and he builds the body of the church up, and he made the two one, and he continues to build the church like a building. Every time one person is added to the body of Christ, every time one person gets saved, the building gets bigger, doesn't it? And one day there's going to be a really big building made up of all peoples from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And the Bible says that we'll all be together in heaven singing and praising the Lord. As the song says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, right? He says, for this reason, all he just got through saying in chapter 2, that's the reason. He says, I, and then he says, Paul, and then he talks about who he's the what? The prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. He's the prisoner of Christ for us Gentiles. You know, and I'd never really, I guess, thought of it this way, but you know, when Paul, the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts is really about Peter, right? He kind of, you can divide up that book into the first 12 chapters has got Peter as the big kahuna, the big preacher. He's the one that's doing God's work and leading the gospel train. And guess what? Chapters 13 through 28, guess who comes in? Paul, right? He gets saved in chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. And then Paul kind of comes in and he becomes the God's messenger, God's vehicle to bring the gospel. And it's mainly to the Gentiles. He also talks about that. Remember, the first 2 years, you could really divide up the book of Acts into 2 years, and that was really it was in Jerusalem and Judea. The gospel went to Jerusalem and Judea, and that's the first couple of chapters. After that, it goes, actually it's chapters 1 through 8 is the first couple of years, and then chapters 8 through 12 is another 13 years, I think it is, and that's Jerusalem and Judea, and then there's Samaria, and then there's the what? Judea and Samaria, and then chapters 13 through 28 is the uttermost parts of the world. So the first couple of years, the gospel's only in Jerusalem. It's to the Jews only. And then by the time you get to chapter 8, there's this persecution, and they start spreading out. And they go Judea and Samaria. And then Paul comes in and he takes it to the uttermost parts of the earth. Who is the uttermost parts of the earth? The Gentiles, right? That's us. And if you've thought about it this way, you can also look at the book of Acts and you see it says, I'll just read a couple of verses here. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 11 and 12 says, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him that day. Remember in Acts chapter 9, he's blinded on the Damascus road, and God speaks to a man named Ananias and says, go speak to this man Saul. And he says, I've heard about this man. He's killing everybody. I don't want to go talk to this man. Verse 14 of chapter 9, he says, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So think of this, that Paul is the prisoner of Christ Jesus. He didn't say he was the prisoner of Romans. He didn't say he was the prisoner of the Jews. But he said, I'm the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that whatever circumstance he was in, wherever he was at, how tough it got. Remember, God's in control of everything, isn't he? And sometimes we complain and we fuss and we, you know, we aren't to be fussing at ourselves if we got ourselves into trouble. but if not, we need to remember that wherever we're at, that God is working what? All things together for good, right? To them that love him. And I know we get tired of maybe hearing that. But the place we're at, the things we go through, the problems in our life, God uses each of those things. Because see, God says, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. He allowed these things in Paul's life to make him into the person he made him into, right? And that's what God does in our life. When we go through trouble, when we go through hard times. And remember, by the time Paul is writing this book of Ephesians, think about this. Somebody asked me this one day, and I really didn't know the answer. I knew he'd been locked up at least 3 or 4 years. But one man said Paul's been locked up at least about 5 years by now. Because remember, he spent a couple of years in Jerusalem. And then at least a couple of years in Jerusalem. And they finally sent him over to Rome. And he gets over to Rome and he spends at least 2 or 3 years over there. And so he is let out the first time. And then he goes back again and he spends a couple of years. And then, of course, that time they put him in the dungeon. This time he's under house arrest. He's got his own place, but that doesn't mean he's free to do anything he wants to because he's chained to 2 guards, right? He's chained in his arms and his legs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's under house arrest. And maybe Paul's sitting here and he's writing this book and he's going to pray for him again. Because what he really did, he says, for this reason, I, Paul, and then he was fixing to pray. In verses 14, he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father. And he was fixing to pray, but all of a sudden maybe he was writing this letter. Maybe the chains jingled or something. He felt that pull of the chain or something. We don't know what it was. God convicted him to go ahead and break off of where he was at praying and tell these folks that he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. And he does this, he breaks off to let these folks know that he's a prisoner, not because when something bad happens to somebody because of us sometimes, we feel bad about it. But he doesn't want these people to feel bad because he's a prisoner. He wants them to know that the reason he's in the place that he's in is because what? God has put him in this place, right? And I tell folks all the time that we're in the places that God has us, whether, you know, we're sick and we got some of the health problems, probably in places we don't want to be in life a lot of times. But those are the places where God molds us and makes us and forms us into the person he wants us to be, right? I was reading, anybody remember that guy, what is it, he wrote, My Utmost for His Highest? I know a couple of y'all know, can't think of his name right this second. He wrote this book called My Utmost for His Highest. And what he says the other day, he was using some of these verses, and I think he used Romans 8:28, and I think he was talking about James 1. You know, he says, count it all joy when you do what? Fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith does what? Produces endurance, right? But let endurance or patience have its perfect work. In other words, don't say, get me out of the trial, but say, what am I supposed to learn during the trial, right? And it's Oswald Chambers, that's who it was. But he says, he's the one that wrote that, but he says, it's not the getting to the place that is the important part. We're always, okay, God's going to put me somewhere after I go through all this. And most of the time he does. He works on us and he does something in our life. But what he was saying was it's the process that's what's important. That letting that patience have its perfect work, right? Remember during the process, the going through, the not knowing what you have, what's going to happen, right? We've been going through that process with my wife and some of the other things going on. My son's been going through it with his job. You've been going through it with your eyes and you with your lungs. And I'm sure all of you could testify you've been going through something and you don't know what's going on and where it's going to happen. And the process is where God molds us and makes us and teaches us to trust Him and to depend on Him. And so Paul was locked up as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew that he wasn't a prisoner of Rome. He wasn't a prisoner of the Jews. But think about this too, the book of Acts, not too long after chapter 13, when Paul comes in and he starts preaching to the Gentiles, what happens? There's this fighting over the Gentiles. Do they have to become like the Jews and be circumcised? And there's this Council of Jerusalem and chapter 15 and then chapters 19 through 28, really the rest of the book is really Paul defending who he is, what he's doing to the Gentiles, that the Gentiles have the same right to the gospel as the Jews do, that the Jews don't have to become Gentiles and the Gentiles don't have to become Jews, but we become one new thing, the body of Christ, the body, the church. And that's what he's defending the rest of the time. And the rest of the book of Acts is really them chasing Paul down and him defending the gospel and saying that God gave me this ministry to the Gentiles, that God sent me to the Gentiles, that this is what I'm here for. And so what does he ultimately end up being? Locked up, right? I mean, eventually the Jews, you know, he's preaching and he's teaching and he's doing all this stuff and he gets to the word Gentiles in one place and all of a sudden the crowd goes crazy. And they would have killed him right then if the Roman authorities hadn't come in and got him. And there was another plot where the Jews said they wouldn't eat till they killed him. And all these things happen and the nephew of Paul finds out these things. And so it's the whole book of Acts. Is the last part of it is, yes, the gospel's going, but he's also persecuting Paul because he's telling them that everybody has a right to the gospel. Not just the Jews. The place of salvation began with the Jews, but everybody has a right to the gospel. Everybody has a right to salvation. Everybody, Jesus Christ died for everybody, right? Paul's writing this. He's the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles, for us, for the people back then that were not Jewish. And he wants them to know that. So this is a kind of parentheses. And then he says in verse 2, if indeed, and really that if indeed should be since indeed. I don't know why they use that if. I understand I'm not an English major. But my son could tell me, but they say they use that if instead of since because it's supposed to give it emphasis. But he's saying, since indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. So what is the next thing he says? You have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Now, let's stop right there. That word dispensation, it's a word administration. It means management. Some of your Bibles might talk about the stewardship of the grace of God which was given to him. Well, you know what it is? You know, God has dealt with people at different times in different ways. You know that God never changes. Did you know that? But the way he deals with people is different. Now, he dealt with Adam and Eve in the garden one way, right? But as soon as they ate of the fruit of the tree, what did he do? He had to deal with them a different way. Now, God was still God, right? And then he dealt with the Jews in the wilderness in one way. And then when they built the temple, and now that Christ has died, he deals with us differently. But all that means is that at different times and different places, God has dealt with people in a different way, but God never changes. But the way he may deal with us changes because times change, people change, and the way things go throughout history have changed. And so what he's saying is there's a change here. There's a new time. God is making the Jews and the Gentiles one. That was the whole purpose from the beginning, remember? When God gave the Jews, made them his people, what did he do? He said, through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed, right? Not just some of the families, but he says all the families of the earth would be blessed. I mean, that's what he told Abraham, that all the families of the earth would be blessed. And that every single person had a right to the gospel. And that's what the Jews were supposed to do, but they didn't tell people. They didn't do it. They held on to it. They got proud. They got arrogant. They thought they were better than everybody else. And sometimes today the church gets that way too, doesn't it? Looks down on people and says, I'm better than you. But we just got to remember, but by the grace of God, there we go, right? But he says, indeed, you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. There's that same grace of God that God used, that he used that same word back in chapter 2, right? What is it, the grace of God? That's getting something you don't deserve, right? I mean, Paul didn't deserve what he got. Think about Paul. Who was Paul? He before he got saved, he was Saul, right? He killed all the people who wanted to trust in Jesus Christ because he thought that what he was doing was right. One man said it like this, that if we knew how many people Paul killed, that we probably wouldn't listen to him. But it's like this, another man said that if we knew what other people had done or thought or said, we wouldn't listen to them. But if they knew what we thought or said, they wouldn't listen to us either. So we're all in the same boat, right? That the ground is level at the cross. And so he says here that it was the grace of God which was given to him for the Gentiles, right? I mean, God gave him a gift, something he didn't deserve. God took this man who was a killer of Christians and made him a minister. Think about that. The man who was trying to kill Christianity, trying to kill all the Christians, he made him the greatest Christian that there's ever been. The one who wrote 13 books in the New Testament. The one who dominates the rest of the whole book of Acts. Who for 15 years, he is the dominant person in that book of Acts. And he says in verse 3, how that by revelation, God showed him. What is revelation? He revealed to him. He probably gave him a vision. He spoke to him. And he gave him what he was supposed to do. He has made known to me the mysteries, if I have briefly written to you already. We talked about that one time before, that Paul was out in Nabatea, Arabia for 3 years after he got saved. He went out there, and there's a place, I never can remember where it's at, but he says, I didn't learn from men, but I was taught by God. So apparently God, somehow or another, Jesus Christ, taught him personally in the wilderness after he had died and risen and gone back to heaven. He somehow or another came back, and I don't know if it was just through revelation, through visions, or what he did, but for 3 years Paul learned from Jesus Christ. God spoke to him and taught him. That's pretty neat, isn't he? He got his own personal teacher. The disciples, there was 12 of them, but they all had to share Jesus. But he got him all by himself. And so he made known to me the mystery. Remember we talked about that mystery. What is the mystery? That the Jews and Gentiles would be one in the church. He says, as I've written briefly already. That's what he was writing about in chapter 2. Let's look at verse 4. What does he say here in verse 4? By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So in other words, what he's saying is when you read what I've written, you'll understand the mystery, right? The whole reason he wrote it is what? He wants us to understand. He didn't want to hide it from us. And sometimes people act like this Bible, you can't understand it. There's all these secret things in there. And unless you do this or do that or get this super knowledge, and some people say, come with me and I'll show you the secrets of the Bible or something. But the Bible tells us that the Bible's open to everybody. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He wants to show you everything that's in here. If you're willing to receive it and you're able to handle it, He will show you what you need to know. And so He says, we will understand. Look at verse 5. he says, which in the other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and the prophets. So remember, we've talked about this before, that this mystery was hidden. Remember, mystery is like when you read a mystery book, what do you do? At the end, it tells you what happened, right? But during the book, you don't know what's going to happen. And that's really what he's saying is, in the Old Testament, what did God do? He had hidden the fact that Jews and Gentiles would be one, that there would be a new body called the church, and that he would break down those walls. He had hidden that. He didn't want people to know that at the time. That was a new thing. It was hidden from the Gentiles. It was hidden from the Jews. And he's going to reveal it to us now, because guess what? God, remember we just talked about that, the dispensation of times. You know, God has a proper time and a proper place for doing everything. You know that. God's not a God of disorder, is he? I mean, all we got to do is look at this earth and we see that the sun rises at a certain time in the morning and it goes down, or actually it doesn't rise and go down, but the sun and the moon are both spinning, and it looks like it rises and it looks like it sets. We call it a sunrise and a sunset. I guess that's real easy to say. Instead of saying the moon spin and the earth spin, and then it went up and went down, you know, it's gone now. But really, God is a God of order. Somebody told me the other day, we were talking about that, and they called this, they said that one of these solar flares shot in front of the earth, and they called it a near miss. And somebody said, that wasn't no near miss, because you know what? God knew it wasn't going to hit. God has it all planned. They might call it a near miss, but it's not a near miss, because God knew that was never going to hit to begin with, right? God has everything planned out, and he reveals things. Like I said, as you read your Bible, you know, it's like this. When your child's a little baby, you didn't teach them calculus, did you? You first taught them, they had to first learn how to walk and to talk and to eat and to feed themselves and then to put their clothes on and start learning how to read and write and do letters and things like that. When they get older, then you teach them calculus, right? Well, it's the same thing with us. When we're ready, at the right time, at the proper time, God reveals the mysteries to us. And as we read the Bible, as we study the Bible, as we grow and we learn more, and as we apply what we know, what does God do? He teaches us more, right? He says, unto whom much has been given, much is required. And so at the right time, at the proper time, he reveals the truths as we're ready to hear them, as we're ready to understand them. And so here's the right time, the right place. He reveals it. He opens it up so that people would know, because now he's revealed by the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, through God, Spirit, to the holy apostles and the prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That's that same thing he said, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, verse 6, and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. He says now's the time. He's revealing it, that the Gentiles and the Jews are in one body. They're partakers of his promise in Christ. What is that? When he died on the cross, he made everybody one, right? Those that trust Christ. I mean, Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. This is the verse I referred to a minute ago. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And he says in Galatians 3, verse 28 and 29, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, listen at this, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Like I told a boy one time, he looked at me, he said, I'm not a Jew. Romans 2:29 says a true Jew is the one who has the circumcision of the spirit, not the flesh. The ones that are saved, the ones who have been forgiven because of Jesus Christ, we're the true Jews. We're Abraham's seed. You know, that's, isn't that what Jesus told the Pharisees? He says, don't tell me you're Abraham's children, because you're not. You're of your father, the devil. If you were Abraham's children, you wouldn't be trying to kill me. You would do the works that Abraham did. He said the true Abraham's children are the ones who love God and follow God, right? Those are the true, that's the blessing. And that's what he says over in Galatians 4:16, that and through you, through that seed, and that singular, not plural, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And that seed is not plural, it's singular, because that seed is Jesus Christ. And so he says that we've been made fellow heirs. We both get the inheritance. We're part of the same body. What's that body? The church, right? And partakers of the promise. What is the promise? All the spiritual blessings, heaven, joy and peace and abundant life. And then he says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. And he says it again. Because what is gift? Gift is something you get, right? But then what is grace? Something that you get that you don't deserve, right? So he says, it's the gift of God. Sort of like he said back in chapter 2. It's kind of funny because he says, chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What? But what is grace anyway? Grace is something you get that you don't deserve anyway. It's a gift, right? I mean, a gift is something you get that you don't deserve, right? And so he says here the same thing. It's a gift of grace. He gives him something he doesn't deserve, which was given to me by the effective working of his power. So what is that? God gave him this gift by the effective working, the operation of the working of his power. And that word working means power, and that word power means power. So what he's saying is God's just giving me power to do his work, right? And you know what? That's what God does for us too. He gives us power to do his work. It affected Paul. It made him a prisoner. It affected us. It made us heirs of the same body, heirs of the inheritance, and partakers of the promise. So Paul says that God gives it to us. You know, and that's that same power that's available to us to live the Christian life. It's a gift, right? And God gives it to us. Bottom line, folks, none of us deserve anything God's given us. But you know what? He loves us anyway. Isn't that amazing that he loves us anyway? And that's why we're supposed to love each other and care for each other. Because if God, who was rich in mercy, and he loved us while we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, could love us in spite of who we are. What did he say right before he died on the cross? Forgive them, for they know not what they do, right? And if he could say, forgive them, Father, about the people who were killing him, I think we should be able to, through the power of Jesus Christ, to forgive other people and to love other people in spite of who they are. Because you know what? Sometimes we're difficult to get along with too, aren't we? Like this lady one time lived down the street from us, and my wife and I used to always say, wonder if she's that sweet all the time. You know, she's just one of these people that was just so almost sickly sweet, you know, but we just kind of wonder, is she really like that all the time? Wonder what she's like that with her kids and her husband when ain't nobody else around, you know? I say sickly sweet because sometimes it's sickening to see somebody that sweet. You're like, okay, are they really like that? And sometimes you wish you were like that. You know, you wish I could be like that. That's why it's sickening, is because you think, oh, if I could be like that, right? But through the power of Jesus Christ, we can be. So let's stop right there today, and we'll finish up verses 8 through 13 next week and see how far we get next week. The bottom line is that God loves each and every one of us. He reveals things to us. You know, it's God's power. I was I'll read one of these little illustrations that I had here before we quit, and I'll save the other one for next week. It's called Who Gets to Praise? It's to remind believers not to take credit for accomplishments that only the Lord could have done, right? He says, a proud old woodpecker was hunting for a juicy worm on a huge cottonwood tree. It was a stormy day, and at about the third peck, lightning struck the tree, knocking the bird to the ground and splitting the tree from the top to the bottom. My, said the woodpecker, I didn't know I had that much power. So let's be careful to give God the glory and the praise for what he does. Paul said, I can do all things. Now, if he'd have stopped there, he'd have been boasting. But Paul went on to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we can do great things only through Christ. He is our strength. Our strength comes from the Lord. And it behooves us to humble ourselves and draw closer to our Savior and give him the honor and the glory he deserves. Because, you know, that's what happened to the Jews, right? They got proud. They got arrogant. But we need to remember, but by the grace of God, there go I. And always remember to give God the praise and the honor and the glory that he deserves. Because he deserves all the praise and the honor and the glory, right? Because without him, we can do what? Nothing. So we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you that even though sometimes we're in tough situations, we're in hard spots, but you're using those tough spots, those hard spots, to make us like you, to show your glory to other people, that without you we could do nothing. So Father, we just ask today that you would help us as Paul to remember that we're just prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ, that whatever situation you have us in, whatever place you have us in, that you have us here for a reason. And when that time's up, when that endurance or whatever it is that you're working in our life, that patience, you said let endurance have its perfect work. Let that patience have its perfect work, that you might be lacking nothing, that we'd be mature and complete, lacking nothing. But you said if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask of God who gives liberally and without reproach. Lord, help us to, as we go through life, to be like Paul and remember that we are where we are because of you. And that if we're in a tough spot, that you'd allowed us to be there, but you'd have allowed it for a reason. But God, we can make it through if we just depend on you like Paul did. Father, help us to remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And remember to give you all the glory and honor and praise because you're the only one who deserves it. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to do number 79. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
I'm the child without a home. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved. Be loved.
I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out and go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And he is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them
are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.